Wouldn't it be fun if all of you grandparents went home today and called up your kids and grandkids and said, I'm expecting. That would be a lot of fun. I'd love to be there to hear the answers to that. I've got a crazy sense of humor, I'll admit it. But what does it mean? It means you've got life growing inside of you. You've got something to nurture and something to grow. And there's going to come a time where there's going to be a full birth. And we're expecting a full birth. Pastor Carl, for his entire adult life that I knew him, from the time he gave his life to Jesus, was expecting. Expecting to see Jesus. Expecting to see a victorious body of Christ on this earth. Expecting to see a church that knew how to rise up in the authority that God had given them. To understand that the earnest of your redemption and inheritance is not just a tiny little, but God has given you a great abundance of His Holy Spirit power and victory to establish on this earth and in heaven someday. Expecting. For as long as I knew him, Pastor Carl was a man of faith. And he used to simply say, if God says it, that settles it. There was an old poster. If God says it, I agree with it, that settles it. Wasn't that the middle part? He used to walk up and cross that middle part out. Doesn't matter if I agree with it or not. Because if God says it, that settles it. We just have the privilege of lining up and agreeing with him. So, what are you expecting? Listen to some scriptures. Romans 8, verse 19. I'm going to read it from the New King James and then from the Message. Romans 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits, say it with me please, the revealing of the sons of God. God is wanting to birth His body full of life, His church full of life and power to be a glorious church. And even creation's waiting to see it revealed. Out of the Message, the created world itself, please read it with me, can hardly wait for what's coming next. Are you ready for what's coming next? Are you on your tiptoes looking to Jesus, waiting for seeing Him, being a part of what He's doing? Are you ready? Turn to each other and say, how about you? Are you ready? Earnest expectation. Earnest expectation. In the Greek, that phrase literally means intense anticipation. In the Greek, intense anticipation. Watching. Like Abraham. We've been talking about him. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read this verse out of the New American Standard. Verse 10. For he was looking. Please read it with me right here. He was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And that word looking in the Greek literally means he was awaiting. He was expecting. Out of the New Living, with a city with eternal foundations designed and built by God. Out of the New King James, he waited for the city, please read it with me, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now let's go on to another verse, Hebrews 11, verse 11. See it out of your own Bible. And then I've also got it up here, but see it in your own Bible. I want you to be right at home with it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. And we're going to go on to another hero of the faith here. Just briefly this morning, there'll be more to say about this in further weeks. But by faith, Sarah, what? By faith, Sarah expected. Hebrews 11, 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. I still think it'd be a kick if you called your grandkids and said, I'm expecting. I think that'd be great. Or your kids especially. Blow them away. All right, the grandparents. Expect these guys were grandparents. Come on, say it with me. Yay for grandparents.
Yay for grandparents.
They were grandparents. They were expecting. And so let's see. What do the words mean in the Greek? The word strength is literally dunamis. It means power. Dynamite power. The word dynamite comes from the Greek word dunamis. She received power to conceive. And that conceive literally means deposit. She received power to receive from God the deposit that He wanted to put in her. She was past age. Literally, that word there is kairos. She was past age. She was, it means in the Greek, literally past the proper time. She was past her occasion. She was past her opportunity. Anybody in this room, you don't even have to raise your hands. Think to yourself from time to time, I am past my opportunity. I missed it. I didn't do what God wanted me to do. I'm past my occasion. It's too late for me to really get on the bandwagon. It's too late for me to really do. It's never too late, church. Say it again with me. It is never too late. She believed God, and God put His great big promise inside of her. You know what you see when you see a crowd full of somewhat kids but older people? Look around. Look around the room. You know what you see? Okay. You know what you see? You see some great people who've been around the block. People who've lived some life. Who have a lot of wisdom. Sometimes the wisdom's gained by scars on our knees, right? But a lot of wisdom. Are you still believing God can use you? You have a neighborhood. You have a community that needs to be loved and reached for Jesus. You've got demons who hinder people's ability to hear the gospel, and you're the living embodiment of it. You've got people in you're right next door to you who need Jesus, maybe, and the best one to reach them might be right here this morning. But gosh, I'm past my opportunity. What can I do? There's people that are hungry, literally, physically. There's people that are needy spiritually. What can you do? Now more than ever, you can believe. And what? Expect. Are you expecting God to use you? Are you expecting? You know He can, but are you expecting Him to? Let Him put His seed, conceive fresh vision inside of your heart this morning for what Jesus wants you to do. Are you ready? Are you expectant? The Heroes Hall of Faith. Remember, what's our context? Hebrews 10, Jesus says, my soul is not pleased with him who, what? Draws back. The root of that in the Greek literally means somebody who reaches an independent conclusion. They know better than God does about their own life, and they want to turn around and walk away from him. Because after all, God's disappointed. Did God ever not do what you wanted him to do? Oh, come on. Come on, let's get real here in this church. Does that mean he's not real? No, it means he has a different purpose. It means God's got something maybe he's working out in me and in you. Pastor Carl has now ultimately been completely healed. I envision him. Can't you envision him walking with Jesus? Can you envision? I mean, this is a man who was going to write his third book was going to be The Glorious Church. He saw the glory of God. And so he tried to teach us that. And so we'd understand this is how we walk and this is where we go. And if Christianity is anything, it's what? It's everything. We want to walk with Jesus and run after Jesus. And what do you see? What can God do in and through you? Or is it too late for you? Are you expectant? Are you expecting? So, the Heroes Hall of Faith, you have Hebrews 10, don't turn back. You have Hebrews 12, you have not yet resisted unto blood, meaning you haven't gone to the cross like Jesus did. So hang in there, and then he gives us Hebrews 11. Ripe chapter full of examples of people who didn't see Jesus anymore. He was gone. But who believed him and walked on. Some people in the Old Testament didn't see God, but they walked and fulfilled his word. And that's the example he's telling the Hebrews. Remember, the Hebrews are discouraged. They're suffering. Persecution is intense. And they're thinking, maybe I should go back to Judaism. I can see the temple. I can smell the sacrifices. Maybe that's better. And Jesus says, hang on. Hang on. Don't give up. God's got a lot to do with you yet. We've heard about Abel, we've heard about Enoch, we've heard about Noah, we've heard about Abraham. And now by faith, Sarah had children, and she and Abraham were beyond childbearing years. How could they have such faith? It was supernatural. Not just natural, but supernatural. And God puts His Word inside of us. God births His promise inside of us. And then He breathes on us with the Holy Spirit, and it is supernatural. That's right. Amen. If we'll let Him. It takes God. How many want to work with God and do what He wants to do? How many want to be used by the Lord? Amen. Punch each other and say, you can touch each other and say, let's be used by God. Is there something in your heart that you are waiting for and expecting and looking for Jesus to fulfill? Abraham was older. Sarah was older. Noah was older. How can God use me? I'm not 20. You're just old enough to be wise enough, to listen to God enough, to obey Him enough, and to know that He'll meet you. What are you expecting? Who are our heroes? Do you know one of the shameful things that's taking place in our country right now? Can we just talk for a couple minutes? One of the shameful things that's happening is in our entire educational system where they're ripping apart the heroes and the forefathers of our country. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And there's an insidious, I believe, demonic plot to destroy our foundations. The heroes of the faith, were they perfect? The issue isn't perfect. Did they believe God? Yes. How many in this room are perfect? Are you perfected? How many believe we're going to ever yet be perfected as we walk with the Lord? But it don't have to wait until I'm perfect to obey Him. And in fact, as I walk with Him, the perfecting process will continue. You know, in American history, now in school, they want to stop teaching history beyond the 1900s. And what will happen? Shallow thinking, shallow minds who don't realize our foundations, who can be blown apart by any, the scripture says, wind of doctrine. It's a shame. The dumbing down of our kids and our society. And you remember, how many when you were a kid used to have those brown history books? The brown biographies. You remember those? I used to check those out. Abraham Lincoln and John Hancock and all of these people. There's a whole series of them. Some of the most exciting stories. And then you know what happened? In about the 70s, we started to rip every one of those people apart. And they had 14 children, illegitimate. And whether some of those stories were true or not, it was just enough to destroy faith and foundation. I'm not saying those people were perfect, but they did help birth a nation that was doing their best to respond to God and setting up a land where we were free to worship God. You still want to be free and worship God?
Yes.
Let's hold on to our heritage. Let's hold on to some of those things that were established. What are you expecting? Heroes in the hall of faith, even if you can't look to our forefathers in this country, look to the heroes in the hall of faith, people who listened to God and kept going. Is the kingdom of God on earth or is it in heaven? What was that? I'm sorry, what was that? Hey, how many love the fact she boldly proclaimed the word of the Lord this morning? Good obedience. Good obedience. Good obedience. And praise God for those who minister the gifts. It's great. The scripture says, and Jesus said to pray this way, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom, I'm sorry, I can't hear you, thy kingdom, come on earth as it is in heaven. Some generations lived their Christianity like the only thing that counted was heaven someday. And they pulled out of life in their community and being salt and light and lost some opportunities because we were all going home momentarily. I'm not critical of them. I'm just saying it was some generations lived like that. But there's also some people who live only solely for its kingdom now and forget that heaven is indeed our ultimate destination. There's a glorious place with no tears, no pain, no sickness, no illness, and absolutely no evil. How many are looking forward to dwelling in a place like that with Jesus forever? Heaven and eternal life begins, though, the moment you give your life to Jesus. Some people just wait for life someday because I'll be a lot better then, and they hang their heads and they say, I just don't have anything. I can't do what Jesus has called us to do. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says He's given us His power now. He's given us His Spirit now. Eternal life begins now. Power begins now. And victory begins now. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Not just heaven someday, but heaven someday, and on earth, now. Are you expecting? It'll be glorious someday. I believe, I can see, I know I mentioned it, but I can see Pastor Carl, with Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry's little boy, couple of days old, who never got to know, named Christian, hand in hand. I can see Gail having greeted him when they got, when he came to heaven. I can see Pastor Ward and Darla, and you can name how many people have gone on before us in faith. How many of your relatives love Jesus, and you're looking forward to seeing them. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place. And so the writer of Hebrews says, so guys, don't give up on your faith. Keep going. Just like all these examples did. Listen to this verse. This is powerful. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. He has put eternity in their hearts. When you've surrendered your life to Jesus, He's put eternity in your hearts. We're not separated from heaven. The body has a head. Pastor Carl used to teach all the time. The body's not separate from the head. There's a head and we're connected. We're not detached. When you watch a football game, how many know the players down on the field make the action happen? How many know that? But how many know it'd be an awfully boring game and they wouldn't do near as well without the throngs of people cheering in the stands? Anybody ever like a good football game? How many like it when your team wins? How many shout to help your team win? A few of you. I was shouting at a restaurant just last week, and the Seahawks were cutting down. I was shouting. It was a good thing there were only a few people in a restaurant. That's what it was. But you know, they without us, and us without them, it's not a complete game. Though you can't see Jesus now, doesn't mean Jesus can't see you. Though you can't see the angels now, doesn't mean angels can't see you. Though you can't see the multitude of believers who have gone on before, who've kept the faith, fought the good fight, doesn't mean they're not cheering for you. Listen to the scriptures, Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed, say it with me, please, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they'd come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. God's not ashamed of those who aren't ashamed of Him. God's not ashamed of those who say, let's keep going, let's keep walking. Someday we'll get to heaven, but let's bring heaven as much as we can on earth here today. Come on, church, that's why we're a church, so we can encourage each other in the Lord. Keep going, keep running, keep expecting. Remember being in a conversation a long time ago, I just had a privilege to overhear. Pastor Carl said to Pastor Sherry, what can I do for you? It was precious, really. I felt like kind of melting out. And she said, there is something I'd love for you to do for me. He goes, what is it? She said, build me a home. And I watched his face lighten, literally brighten, with a big smile. And he looked at her and he said, I can do that. And that birthed the plan for 240 Maple Lane, where we get to be on Wednesday nights. We'll get to be Saturday after church. They were looking for a homeland. And if you've given your life to Jesus, He says, hey, what can I do for you? And you look at Him and you say, Lord, build me a home. He says, I got you covered. I've got a place for you. In my presence forever. Is your home here? No, they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Though Abraham had been declared to him, this land is your land. He still knew there was something more. Our Heavenly Father's working on plans for you and for me. Let's keep our eyes on Him, not on this world. I lived in 28 places before I was 18. I never had a home. It's one of the things that brought me to Jesus, because home is Him. And I found a home on earth in Pullman, and 18 years old, met a family. that showed me that I wasn't the end-all in life. I'd given my life to the Lord when I was 16, and I was wild, and I had preacher's itch, and I was going to change the world. And, well, even if I haven't done that, they helped focus me in the right direction of surrender to Jesus. But, church, we're not home yet. We're not fully home yet. All these, 11, 39, and 40, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having, watch this, provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. God wouldn't let it all wrap up till we got to be involved. God says, I got a big family, and I'm going to wrap it all up someday. There'll be no tears, no sorrow, no pain. There'll be a place in my presence. Therefore, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, continuing on. Therefore, because of all of this, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Say it with me, church. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So many think God doesn't see. God doesn't know. He sees you. He knows you. He knows the needs of your soul. He knows the longing and the expectancies of your heart, the desires to please him. The scripture says he's your high priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He loves you now. He'll love you then. He'll love you forever. Don't turn back. Keep going. Keep going. And God will fulfill your expectancy. Watch what happens as we come to a close. Our heavenly city. Watch these scriptures. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He'll dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Say that with me. All things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Are you thirsty this morning? He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son. Everything's new. Evil is gone. The bride is prepared and expectant for a great wedding day. No more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. No more crying. God is with us. His name, Emmanuel. Emmanuel with us forever. A new day is coming, church. We won't have the people who've gone before us to heaven come back to us. But we will go on to them and join them. Like those people who are the heroes in the hall of faith, we can walk with God like they did. We can keep going. The question I want to ask you this morning is, are you expecting? Stand with me, would you please? Musicians, will you come? If you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you today give your life to Jesus, what does it take? It takes surrendering to Him, asking Him to be your Lord, your Shepherd, your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart, to take over, and to live forever. And He'll give you eternal life. Come on up. We'll be honored to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, we believe the Lord does heal. And Jesus is here to do that ministry. So come on up. We'll pray. If you have a few things on your heart you want prayer for, come on up. We'll be honored to pray for you. Father, we thank You for this day, for You are great. And we stand, Lord, we stand in awe of You. We love You, Lord Jesus. And we pray that You will take full liberty in our lives and make us what You want us to be as we've surrendered to You. Lord, here we are, full of expectancy. We're expecting. You've deposited life within us. Bring the full birth and full maturity of us as people, as a church, as a congregation, as a body of Christ on earth, until someday we'll go to be with You forever. How we love You, Lord. How we love You. Say it with me. I am
expecting.
Lord, I pray You bless Your people as they go forward this week into the presence in an ever-shining way, in an ever-increasing way, bringing forth and birthing great visions of Jesus wherever we go. And Father, in our neighborhoods, as neighbors, as friends in our community, we'll radiate Your presence. Lord, here we are. We're expecting. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Wednesday night, Grace Gathering. And next Saturday in this place at 1 o'clock, we'll have a memorial service to celebrate Pastor Carl's life. God bless you. Be released in the presence of the Lord.